her name was Awra, if my memory serves you correctly. He called her Abu Lahab Imra'atun. And he calls the wives of Noah and Lot Imra'ah. And he also does the same thing with Fir'aun in the next ayah. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. And Allah sets forth an example of those who believe, the imra'a of Fir'aun. So in other words, because of the wickedness of the husbands, the wickedness of the husband, or the wickedness of the wife, the wives, Allah doesn't call them zawj, or zawja. He calls them the woman. Even though it can mean your wife, but he doesn't give that the respect. That's the point. He doesn't give that husband who was wicked the respect of having an actual zawj. He doesn't give the husbands whom Allah respects and honors, their women, the respect of calling them zawja by calling them imra'a. That's the point we wanted to make. In addition to this, what was it that they betrayed? This is what Ibn Kathir says about those two women. I want the sisters to listen to this very closely. As far as the woman of Noah, she used to reveal the secrets of her husband's followers who believed in him. She used to inform the tyrannical people of that particular time that those particular people who believed in Noah were there, believing in Noah when no one believed, because they used to hide their iman. And he used to make sure that people didn't know that they believed in him, because they were ready to travel with him. But his woman, used to inform the tyrant of that time, and so that would enable the tyrant to be able to enable him to arrest those people who believed in Noah. She also used to say that Nuh, Prophet Noah, was Majnun. This is what the woman of Noah used to say. As for Lot, Lot's wife used to indicate to the criminals, we know who the criminals are, the homosexuals. She used to tell the people who were homos that there were people who used to come and visit. In other words, I hate to use the word, but I have to use this terminology to get the point across. She used to, when people used to come on their trips to spend the night or spend some time with Prophet Lot, she used to go to the deviant homosexuals to tell them, and please forgive me for this terminology, this is a terminology that they use in prisons, that there's fresh meat around. This is the terminology they use in the prisons. There's fresh meat available. In other words, like when people are locked up, and the people who are into homosexual acts, when they see a young guy comes into the prison and they know he's not used to being around and he's not used to doing time, they see him as fresh meat. That's what they call him. Someone who they can do their deviance with. And this is what the wife of Lot used to do. And the way she used to do it, at nighttime she used to set a fire, and in the daytime she used to set smoke. And this would let the homos know to come by the house of Lot to crack on, for lack of better words, to try to entice the people who were visiting Lot to come and do homosexual acts. Wali'adhu billah. So the point we wanted to make is that if there is some peculiarities or secrets that are in the house that your husband has kept concealed, it is not your business, sister. It would not be becoming for you to reveal those particular things that have happened in your husband's house. And lastly, we wanted to say that every man and every woman, but every man specifically, he should be kind to the members of his household if he wants Allah to give him some good. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith collected by Imam Ahmad, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرًا أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّفْقَ. When Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ desires for a family good, He sends down on them gentleness. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّفْقَ. When Allah desires that there should be love for the people of the household, he sends down on them. He enters into that house or makes gentleness enter into that house. And we know this goes along with the other hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah rafiq wa yuhibbu rifq wa la yu'ti 'ala al-'unuf ma yu'ti 'ala al-rifq wa ma wa yu'ti 'ala al-rifq ma la yu'ti 'ala al-'unuf wa ma la yu'ti 'ala al-sawa." Or كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم, surely Allah loves gentleness, surely Allah is gentle and he loves gentleness, and he gives for gentleness that which he doesn't give for harshness or anything other than that. And lastly, we like to say that the men who really want to be men following the sunnah, what I mean by that, not that you're not a man if you don't do this, but if you really want to be a real man following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you would do what his wives said he used to do. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخيط ثوبه ويخصف نعله ويعمل ما يعمل الرجال في بيوتهم. This hadith, أو كما قالها رضي الله عنها, this hadith is collected by Imam Ahmad, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to sew his own thawb, he used to mend his own shoes, and he used to do what men do in their homes. And I see some brothers whose faces are becoming a little contorted right now, and they have that little smirky smile on their faces. So if you really want to be a man, you don't join the Marines. You follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the best example. As Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, "Ma kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ya'malu fi baytihi, fa ajabat bima shahadathu bi nafsiha." She was asked, "What was the Messenger's comportment in the house?" And then she answered, "By that which she saw herself with her own eyes." كَانَ بَشَرًا مِنَ الْبَشَرِ يَفْلِي أَوْ يُنَقِّي ثَوْبَهُ وَيُحَلِّ بَشَاتَهُ وَيَخْدَمُ نَفْسَهُ. He used to clean his own clothes, milk his own animals, and serve himself. And serve himself. I know brothers, personally, who won't get up out of the chair. They won't go to the refrigerator. They don't even know what the stove looks like. They don't even go in the kitchen. And they'll be hungry for hours. And that woman, they'll wait for that woman to bring them that food. "I'm ready for Juma. Come on, Juma. I got to leave for Juma. I ain't that style. Come on. What's wrong with you? Iron it yourself. What's wrong with ironing your own style, brothers?" Some brothers have their, and alhamdulillah, this is important that a woman give the khidmah, serve their husband. No, this is important. I'm not taking away that the sisters shouldn't have khidmah to zawj, because there are pages in the books of fiqh, in the books of ishra, on how the relationship should be between husband and wife. And one of the major aspects of a relationship in Islam, of marriage, is khidmah to zawj, that a woman should serve her husband. But a man can do it sometimes. You know, he can cook his own food sometimes, burn up the pots, you know, make a hole in the stove by ironing it, you know. Yeah, he can do this himself, wash his own clothes. Please, don't anybody ask me, do I do this? All right? Don't anybody ask me, do I do this? Because I don't have to embarrass you, brothers, and tell you that I do it. Sometimes. All right? So this is something that the brothers should learn how to do if they want to really be Salafi. If you really want to be Salafi, then wash your clothes for Jummah tomorrow. Iron your own thawbs, brothers. Shine your own shoes. And go home tonight and cook food for your wife. Cook food for your wife. Prepare the meal. I'm not talking about taking some water and boiling it, putting a tea bag in there, putting a couple of spoons of honey in there, and toasting some bread. So here you go, sweetheart. No, I mean a nice meal. Not from the Chinese restaurant, brother. Not from the Chinese restaurant. Inshallah. All right? And then there's also a narration where she was asked, radiallahu anha, ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصنع في بيته. What did the Prophet used to do in his house? She said, كان يكون في مهنة أهله. تعني خدمة أهله. فإذا حضرت الصلاة خرج إلى الصلاة. That he used to take care of the affairs of the household. And when the salat time came, he would go out for the salat. But when he was in the house, He would be taking care of the affairs of the household. Some brothers don't know how to work the vacuum cleaner. Some brothers don't know how to work the broom. They're looking for a switch. Where's the switch on the broom? I'm looking, you know, does it plug in? They don't even sweep. One dish. Can't wash one dish. You finish eating your nice spaghetti that she cooked. She already going to work. You got to go into work. She worked 8 hours outside. Then she comes home. Got to take care of the children and cook you food too. You can't wash one dish. Allahu Akbar. So inshallah, if we take this example from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshallah we will really be following the sunnah. And of course you don't have to do it every day. You know, one time in a year at least. You know, you can do these things, inshallah. And it will also it will show some humility on our part. It will show some humility on our part. And it will also give us an example on how tedious the job of a woman is. You know, some people laugh when a woman fills out an application. She's on the plane, you and your wife coming back from Hajj or Umrah, or you're on your way to Hajj and Umrah or wherever, and she fills out that customs card and it says occupation, and she puts housewife. You laugh. Housewife. Why you laugh, brothers? A housewife's job is a very difficult job. And I guarantee you, if you were to put it in dollar sum, in a dollar amount, it would equal probably, just for two children and your wife, taking care of two children, maybe between $150,000 to $300,000 a year. The stuff that she has to go through to take care of those children, and then, you know, like you have five, six, seven children, and you wonder why your salary is not ironed. Iron it yourself. Give her a break. You understand, brothers? You hear what I'm saying? The microphone is still working, right? You hear what I said, brothers? I don't hear anything. Now. All right. I'm going to send somebody to the sisters and ask them. Next class, inshallah, I'm going to ask them. You have 7 days, brothers, to ship up or shape out. Or is it shape up or ship out? Which one is it? Talking about this taking care of the house stuff, man. I get confused. So we ended here, inshallah. We hope that we gain something. And I'm hearing these questions dropping down the tube. These questions are dropping like water, like rain, man. Man, this thing is filled up with questions. Look at that. Allahu Akbar. Little ones, big ones. All right, we'll take some questions from the sisters first. Because these questions are probably going to be a doozies. We love our wives, don't we? Huh? We love our wives, don't we? We don't want anything to happen to them. We want them to have the best in this life, right? So, we should wash the dishes sometime. Okay. We open up all these questions from the sisters, inshallah. We'll take three from the sisters and one from the brothers. And then we'll take another three from the sisters and then one from the brothers, inshallah. Because tonight, inshallah, was ladies' night. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This serving of the husband that you're speaking of, is this considered a sadaqah? No, this is a duty, sister. This is a duty because the husband has the obligation of going out to providing for you. So you should be doing these things. Even though it's not obligatory in the sense that you will be punished if you don't do it, but who else is going to do it? So for his obligation of going out into the inclement weather, into the extreme heat in the summer, extreme cold in the winter, have to get up all times. You know, I watch my wife sometimes. You know, when I used to work for the prison, I used to get up and go. She used to do like this, and you know, ooh, it's nice and warm. Ooh, you have to go outside. You have to go outside and work. I can stay at home. She's doing stuff like that. See? And it's true. We have to go outside and work regardless. Our thing is deeper than the mailman. What's the mailman? What is it? Through night, through gloom, rain, sleet, snow, hail, or gloom of night. Right? Our thing is heavier than that. We have to go out and fend for our families. The women don't have to go out. But because you don't have to go out, at least you could have some food prepared, have those clothes washed, etc. You see? So no, it's a sadaqah, but don't look at it as a sadaqah. You get reward for it, but there's something that you should bring also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. When a sister wears a palazzo, the Islamic shirt, and baggy Islamic pants, does she have to wear a jilbab? Yes. Absolutely she has to wear a jilbab. No doubt. Because the palazzo or whatever it's called and the so-called Islamic baggy pants, wasn't sent down in the Quran. That which was sent down in the Quran was jilbab. Allah didn't mention about palazzo, whatever it is. He mentioned jilbab. So you take those baggy pants, and that's palazzos or pedazzos, whatever you call them, and cover it with the jilbab. As-salamu alaykum, brother. What is a husband's punishment if they tell the secrets of the bedroom? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't mentioned any punishment for the man or the woman. All he said is that they are like a shaitan and a shaitana. Now you tell me, what's the punishment of a shaitan? Alright? Oh, it's three questions from the sisters. Okay, one question from the brothers. No, it's not wajib for the woman to do this work. Yes. Yes, they have to obey their husbands. It becomes wajib on them by way of their obedience to him. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am ra'atan sallat khamsaha wa samat shahraha wa ta'at ba'laha. In another narration, zawjaha wa hasunat farjaha. Any woman who prays her five prayers, fast the month of Ramadan, obeys her husband, keeps her private parts pure and clean and chaste, she can go into any door of Jannah she chooses. Alright? So yes, that's part of it. Her obeying her husband, so that would make it wajib because she has to obey her husband. But was it revealed that she has to cook and clean? No. No. Could you please tell us what a hadith did you get from the statement that you made that we can't even watch the Islamic tapes like the message on TV or our VCR because the people are in the movies are images of Allah's creation and that the angels of Allah leaves and they don't come in the houses that images are displayed at. Shukran. You can check, inshallah, the book will be out soon. We mentioned the book, inshallah, it will be out soon by our brother in Islam, Abu Muhammad Abdul Ra'uf Shakir, Hafizahullahu Ta'ala, on pictures. But you can also check Lawful and Prohibited in Islam. It mentions about the pictures. And you can also check one of the back issues of Huda newspaper. And you can also check one of the back issues, the brothers can tell you, or maybe some of the sisters, the back issue of Al Bashir magazine, and all those narrations are there about images. And I didn't say that you can't watch Islamic tapes. I didn't say that you can't watch it. I just said the pictures are haram. That's what I said. The pictures are haram. Go ahead. We only have one question from the brothers, inshallah, we come back. Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, brother Dawood. Yesterday you related a hadith concerning a person who relays everything they hear. Would you please repeat it and then answer this question? What the hadith is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَفَلْ بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَهَا. It is sufficient for a person to be considered a liar that he conveys everything that he hears. And if my memory serves me correctly, you can find a hadith in the book called The Call and the Caller by our Shaykh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi. And he tells you where the hadith is recorded. The question is, what effect does the hadith have on the writers of hadith who relate everything they heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The effect is the same effect that you have for relating anything else, except that it's compounded and multiplied when the people are relating hadith. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, I think that is collected, that is narrated by Uthman, that is in Sahih Muslim, الكذب علي ليس ككذب أحد أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Lying on me is not like lying on anyone else. And also Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم statement, من قال علي ما لم أقل فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever says about me something that I didn't say, let them take their seat in the hellfire. And also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم statement, من قال علي متعمدا ما لم أقول فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever says something about me intentionally that I didn't say, then let them have their seat in the hellfire. With these three narrations is the proof that those people who convey hadith about the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم without checking them, the people of the past, scholars of or people of hadith, then they will have that punishment, and Allah knows best. But we don't attribute to Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Nasa'i and Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i and Al-Bayhaqi and Al-Darimi and Al-Daylami and Ibn Hibban or any of the illustrious scholars of hadith, rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, We don't attribute to them the hadith of lying on the Prophet ﷺ for one reason and one reason only, because they were scholars of hadith, and they, in their ijtihad, in diligence and exerting their efforts through their knowledge of the science of hadith, if they made a mistake or were negligent because of some narrations not coming to them, and they said a hadith was authentic and it wasn't, then they fall into the category of the other hadith. When a person, a hakim or a scholar, makes a right, uses his ijtihad or his independent reasoning and diligence to come to a conclusion, and he's right, then he gets two rewards. If he's wrong, he gets one reward. Those are the conditions. Those are the that's the status of the people of the science of hadith. As for the person who knowledgeably knows that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, after the proof came to them, didn't say seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, or seek knowledge even though I'm in China, or that the scholar or the faqih is more harder on the shaitan than 1,000 ignorant worshippers. The person who says this about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that he didn't say it, knowing that he did not say it, and the hadiths are unauthentic, they know that he didn't say, my companions are like stars, whichever one of them you follow, you'll be guided. Those who know they didn't say it, they will have their seat waiting for them in the hellfire, and that chair won't be an easy boy chair. And there's no fire escapes in hell. The next question from the sisters. This is just a statement. I'm a student, mother, wife, and I must spread myself thin in order to fulfill the rights and obligations of my family. We should remember that our job description has already been designed by Allah, and if everything takes you outside of that description, that thing should be abandoned. Allah, you better speak, sister. That wasn't a question, so we still have two from the sisters. What is a Salafi Muslim, and are you a Salafi Muslim? The brothers are laughing, sisters. The brothers are laughing. They're laughing. I guess they're saying it's kind of obvious that I am, right? If you want to have a clearer, descriptive, detailed explanation on what is Salafi, then I would suggest that you listen to some tapes that we can give you the names of later by Imam Abu Muslima Abdullah Tawfiq al-Salafi, the Imam of the Islamic Center of East Orange, New Jersey, and also Abu Usama Khalifa Abdul Rahman al-Zahabi, some tapes from him, and also Jamaluddin Zorbozo, some tapes from him, and also from Abu Tasneem Dawood Adib al-Athari, some tapes from him, and also a pamphlet that was prepared by our brother Muhammad ibn Abdul Quddus al-Salafi, that's right here in the Masjid al-Muslimin, inshallah. And also some statements that were made, articles that were written in Huda newspaper, and also Al-Bashir newspaper. And all those things combined should give you a clear definition of what is a Salafi. But in a nutshell, sister, the answer to the second part of the question is, yes, I am Salafi, alhamdulillah, and I'm happy and proud to say that. And also, to the first part of the question, Salafi in a nutshell means someone who follows, and I should say I'm Salafi insha'Allah. I like to change that. I am Salafi insha'Allah. I'm Salafi insha'Allah. Salafi in a nutshell is one who tries to follow the Quran in words and behavior in every detail, the authentic sunnah of our beloved prophet, meaning the sunnah that can be traced back to him without unauthentic, bogus, spurious, counterfeit, false narrations, in words and actions, on the understanding, and this is where we separated from the rest of the Muslims, and we want to be united with the rest of the Muslims, but this is where unfortunately the separation comes, on the understanding and practical implementation and application of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and those who follow them in righteousness. That, in a nutshell, is Salafi. Wallahu tabaraka ta'ala a'lam. If a brother tells the business in the house and the bedroom seekers, does the wife still have to obey her husband? Absolutely. There's nothing in the text of the Quran and Sunnah that says because he reveals the secrets, you have to disobey him. You still have to obey him. He's still your husband. And he should be admonished, but you still have to obey him. Is there anything from the brothers? One from the brothers? No. Yeah, the brother's making a very good point about the so-called Islamic video called The Message. First of all, this movie, even though it was approved by Shia scholars and Azhari scholars, this movie, even though some people have claimed to get some benefit from it, is actually, as the brother's mentioning, is making mockery of Islam. It's making mockery of the Sahaba. First of all, it's not permissible for people to portray companions of the Messenger of Allah. Not permissible. How can you say that you're Hamza? Secondly, even worse than that, it's not permissible for Muslims to have plays. This is the fatwa of Sheikh bin Baz and some others, that Muslims shouldn't have plays where they act out certain things, especially acting the part of a kafir. How can you have a play about the conversion to Islam of Omar and you're going to act like the kafir who was trying to keep the Muslims from learning Islam? How are you going to play a kafir? You can't do that. You see? So we should be very careful. Be very, very careful. Plus, this so-called Islamic video is filled and replete with music. It has music. How can you call it an Islamic video with music? This is contradictory in terms. All right? Yeah, women dancing. And the women, I must admit, weren't clothed properly. So you're looking at the hour of a woman. So this really is no different from looking at the news. I mean, looking at something on TV. It's no different. And Allahu Musta'an. Did Allah or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at any time call us Salafi? And if not, should we call ourselves Salafi? Yes. Allah uses the word in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses it in the Sunnah, and those tapes that I mentioned in those books will give you a clearer, as I mentioned, a more descriptive, detailed explanation. But the answer is yes. And until the Muslims come back to the correct way, we have to make a distinction between the Muslims who are following the way of the Salaf and the Muslims who are following the way of the Khalaf. We have to make that distinction. One of the attributes of the Messenger of Allah is Al-Mufarriq. Al-Mufarriq. Al-Mufarriq was one of the attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means the one who divides. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا 73 فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. That this ummah is going to be divided into 73 sects. All of them will be in the hellfire except for one. And they asked him, O Rasulullah, who is that one? He said, مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ أَصْحَابِي. Those who are on my sunnah today and the sunnah of my sahaba. So those who are on my sunnah today and the sunnah of my sahaba are those who follow the way of myself and my sahaba, and the sahaba are our salaf. And we attribute ourselves to them by saying we are Salafi. We're not Hanafi, we're not Maliki, we're not Shafi'i, we're not Hanbali, we're not Wahhabi, we're not Tijani, we're not Burhani, Qadiani, Shi'i. No, we're Salafi, meaning we attribute ourselves to the people who were there when the revelation came down. Because any other Hanafi, Sufi, you are attributing yourself to those who didn't receive revelation. We are attributing ourselves to the one who received the revelation from Allah, who was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the best of the Salaf, as he told Fatima, I am the best of the Salaf for you. This is what he told her. And the scholars of Islam use that hadith to say that he is not specifically the best of Salaf for Fatima, but that he is the best of Salaf for all of us. So we attribute ourselves to him. And we mentioned this in the past. It is similar to saying homie. A person who's your homeboy, you call him your homie. A person is in jail with, he's in the cell with him. In Philadelphia, they call it celly. Person who you in the cell with, in your jail cell, they call him a celly. The person who commits a crime with a person, they call him crimey. Right? Right? So we attribute ourselves to the Salaf who was the prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people who lived in his generation. So we call ourselves Salafi. Now, when the Muslims stop calling themselves Tablighi and Ikhwani and Hizb Tahriri and Bilali from the Bilalians, when they stop calling themselves this, then we'll stop calling ourselves Salafi. But if they don't stop dividing themselves from the way of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah on the understanding of the Salaf, if they don't stop doing this, then we have to make a distinction between us and them. And we're not separating ourselves from them. They have separated themselves from the Aqidah and the Minhaj, or the methodology of the people of the past. We are not making the division. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدَ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تُوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever divides and opposes and disconnects themselves from the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follows a way other than the people of the past, the believers, the Salaf, then we will lead him to that which he or she turned to and cast them into the hellfire, which is a terrible journey's end. So this, in a nutshell, sister, is the answer for that. And the last question, inshallah, what about calling or putting yourself in the category of Sunni? Well, there's a lot of people who call themselves Sunni, but they're not really Sunni in reality. A lot of people call themselves that. How many times have you heard Sunni Muslims who don't attribute themselves to the way of the Dawah of the Salaf in their khutbahs or in their marriages or in their Eid say khutbah tu haja? I've been a Muslim now 23 years. I have never in 23 years of my Islam heard anybody in the Jamaatul Tabligh give a khutbah and they claim to follow the Sunnah. Inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. I've never heard them do this, ever. And I haven't heard anybody else in any of the other groups use it, except that they've been associated with the people of the Dawah of Salafiyyah. They're the only people I've heard do it. And this shows astuteness in the Sunnah. So there are a lot of people who call themselves Sunni, but when you look at their behavior and you look at their beliefs, they're falling short of the mark. So this is why we say, inshallah, we are Salafi. And Allah hu musta'an, and we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his assistance. And the last question is, in what hadith does it say you have to wear jilbab over your clothes? The verse of Quran, not the hadith, but the verse of Quran is Surah 33, chapter Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number, we're looking for the number of the verse. Verse 59? Could be. Yes. يا أيها النبي قل أزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن. Verse 59 of chapter 33. O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their jilbabs over their bodies. To draw their jilbabs over their bodies. Jalabibihin is the plural for jilbab. This is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can find a further explanation for this in the book by Abu Bilal Mustafa al-Kennedy, rahmatullahi alayhi, the book that we read the other night. We read the number of it, when we read all those numbers, 29, 16, 42, remember we read all those numbers? And that book list, the book is called Muslim Women's Dress According to Quran and Sunnah. You can find it in there. It is not permissible for a Muslim woman to come outside without a jilbab. It is not permissible. She is committing a sin if she does. That goes over her regular clothing. Now, the brother is saying that the verse in Surah Al-Ahzab that says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, staying in your homes, is talking to the wives of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyone who has the ability to go to the tafsir of Ibn Jarir at Tabari, or Ibn Kathir at Dimashqi, or Al-Qasimi, or Al-Shawkani's Fath al-Qadir, or Al-Qurtubi's Tafsir, or any of the other famous tafsirs like Al-Baghawi, or any of the ones today, like Abu Bakr al-Jaza'iri, or Ibn Taymiyyah of the past, they'll find that this verse is unanimously agreed upon, referring to all women. All women, not the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Allah is talking to all women to stay in their homes. And with that, we'd like to end it because it's 8:31. The salat came in 2 or 3 minutes ago. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who follow the Quran, the authentic sunnah, on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors in words and deeds, and not be arrogant, and not be extremists, and not be negligent in our duties. There's one more question just came down. This is the last two, inshallah, sisters. Don't send any more down, please. Inshallah. Is a hadith that the one who makes themselves a sect of Muslims, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, stay away from them, and that they will be in the hellfire? And no, there's no hadith like this, sister. There's no hadith like this. No. And I have to remind you, once again, I have to reiterate, we are not making a sect. We're not making a sect. The Prophet made this sect. The Prophet is the one, when they asked him, who was the saved sect? The Prophet said, the one who follows me, the one who's on my sunnah and the sunnah of my companions. We didn't make the sect, the Prophet made it. And the other sects are those who are not on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of his rightly sunnah of the companions. So those, as the ayah that we mentioned, whoever opposes the messenger and follows away other than the believers, they are the ones who have gone astray. They are the ones who have divided themselves from the Muslims. We're not the ones who are doing it. They are. What is the exception of raising a weapon to another Muslim? Also, can you punish a child with a belt or a hanger? We're coming to discipline of the children next week, inshallah. We have two more classes left. And it's not permissible to raise a weapon to your brother or sister in Islam, even while you're joking. It's not permissible because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you do that, whoever raises hadid, whoever raises iron, points iron at his brother, he shouldn't do it because shaitan perhaps may yata'anahu. He may poke him and make the weapon slip and hurt their brother. It's not permissible under any circumstances to point a weapon at your brother or sister in Islam. And Allah knows best. Subhanak Allahumma hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.